Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan here at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Ben standing with you till 10 o'clock. Of course, I typically am talking about the Commanders. We've already done that a little bit. We'll do it a bit later, but we've got to talk NBA Finals. Game 6 tonight in Indianapolis. Tip off in about, you know, a little over 30 minutes. And to help us get set for that, I'm excited for this one. Matt Moore, NBA writer for the Action Network and podcast. He hosts the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Matt Moore is like a Twitter legend. I this is the first time I think we've ever talked, but you have been like an actual like Twitter god forever. I don't even know how to, I still to this day do not know what your name means. Hardwood, was it paroxysm? You're gonna have to tell me what that means, but this is a legit honor to have you on.
Oh, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully I will not wind up with a tombstone that reads Twitter god. I'm hoping for better than that, but I am glad to be, it's good to be known.
Absolutely. No, you're one of those people. When I first got on Twitter, I'm like, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, this guy clearly gets it. You have a lot of engagement. You obviously have a ton of followers, and you do a great job in various posts that you have. So, all right, well, here we go. It's game 6. You've obviously watched all of everything up to this point, the Thunder one win away. What for you as you go into this game, what beyond one team needing to score more points than the other, what do you see as sort of the key here for this game?
Yeah, I think the big key is, you know, Tyrese Haliburton's going to play tonight. I think the key is going to be, can Indiana get the Thunder to be uncomfortable again? Because they didn't look like themselves until Game 5. They looked out of sorts. They didn't get any of the kind of points off of turnovers that they usually get, even when they were forcing turnovers. They weren't the more aggressive team. The Pacers really took it to them and put them on their heels. And then you saw in the fourth quarter of Game 4 and then Game 5, you know, the Thunder turned the tide and put them on their heels, and they were really struggling to kind of adapt to that. And Haliburton's injury makes a big difference there. If Indiana's going to force a game 7, they have to be the aggressor. They have to get downhill, and they have to get the Thunder out of sorts with their defense, which is something that they've struggled now here for about 5 quarters. That, to me, is going to be the biggest difference tonight.
Obviously, Haliburton's health is going to be huge. No surprise that he's playing, but he clearly looked ineffective in the last game, didn't make a single basket, and Oklahoma City's perimeter defense is so ferocious that that's not going to help either. Indiana was lucky that TJ McConnell had a pretty good game. Is there a world where if Haliburton starts this off and just does not looks like he did in the last game, that you say, if you're the Pacers, you know what, we're going to have to go TJ McConnell, or you just ride with the guy that got you here?
I think I ride with the guy that got you there, because one of the things that Haliburton's ability to kind of shape the game, even when he's not necessarily dominating with the ball, is extraordinary. He's one of the best guys in terms of making an impact without needing to put up points or rack up even assists sometimes. He understands how to space the floor, how to manipulate it, and how to shift the defense into positions where his teammates can score. Now they're going to have to step up on their own and do that, but I think he has to stay with him tonight. Unless he comes and re-aggravates it, and it's just like, I can't go. You've got to, I think, go down with the ship. This is your entire season. You don't win this game, your season's over. So I think they've got to give themselves a chance with a player who shapes the game the way that Tyrese Haliburton does.
We're talking with Matt Moore from the Action Network at HP Basketball on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call that. X factors are always interesting in these kinds of series. The Pacers have had a few. Aaron Nesmith has had some big moments in the postseason. We've seen on the Thunder side, Lou Dort, Alex Caruso step up. I mean, they're always impressive defensively, but some games they really pick it up on offense. Do you see anybody in this game? Do you kind of have a vibe of like, I can see this guy doing a little bit more, or maybe, hey, this guy does need to do more than we've seen so far?
Yeah, I think if the Pacers are going to have success, it's going to have to start with Obi Toppin. They struggled in the minutes with Siakam and Turner on the floor, and Toppin's ability to hit big threes, which the defenses are never really scheming for or expecting, that really gets them out of sorts and challenge them in ways that get them away from that kind of identity that they want to do and makes them a little bit more uncertain. I think if the Thunder are going to win, I think you got to look at Alex Caruso. Like, he's just been such a difference maker. He's just such a defensive force, and he's been contributing a lot offensively. He's been making big shots. He's been turning those steals into points on the other end and being able to create a little bit of offense off the dribble. They need that with the Pacers and how they're kind of defending Jalen Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even though Jalen's been phenomenal in this series. I do kind of think that Alex Caruso needs to be that third guy for them tonight to fill in the gaps.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you for a prediction for this game in a second. I'm going to ask you about the NBA draft as well. There's at least one NBA game in the finals left, maybe two, so I don't want to look ahead too much. But the Thunder, whether they close this out or whether the Pacers come back, they're going to find they now have the NBA Finals experience, which is really impressive going forward for the youngest team in the league who has great talent and 1,000 assets that they can play around with going forward. I think we've all kind of thought, okay, when Victor Wembanyama gets it going for real, the Spurs are going to be like the team to beat. Man, the Thunder have just so much going for them already. I kind of just wonder if they're the team that's going to have the bigger upside. Between those two situations, the Thunder or the Spurs with Wembanyama, who do you kind of see as having the bigger ceiling at this point going forward?
I think it's really tough to do it right now because we're so conditioned to see with what we're seeing now, the teams we're still talking about and seeing, and the kind of recency bias. And there's just been so many times when we've been like, they're going to be back, or, oh, this is a dynasty in the making. Like, people were like, what's going to stop Joker from rolling over in the next couple of years and doing this again and again, and then they haven't gotten back. And, oh, the Celtics, what could possibly stop Boston? And, well, that's one and done. That's the era that we're in. And the Thunder are better positioned to fight that than anybody else with the youth of their team, with their draft picks, with where their cap is at. But they are going to have to give out max extensions to Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams this summer. And after that, they'll have other guys hit free agency, and they'll have injuries, and they'll have all the other things and the drama that seems to happen to every NBA team. So I definitely think the window is widest here for the Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But Victor Wembanyama is still so incredibly impactful, and the way that he just dominates when he still doesn't even look like he knows what he's doing half the time. And then you got the Lakers in Los Angeles, and they're going to add a big man, and they're going to have Luka for the next 5-10 years, and they're going to be able to build around that with a new owner willing to spend. This league is hyper-competitive right now, and so the Thunder have the best chance at getting another title in the next 3 years, but you're going to have to do it for me to really believe that it's going to happen. I think every title is too rare right now.
You just mentioned the Lakers with the new owner. Obviously, huge news yesterday, the Buss family is selling the majority stake in the Lakers. And we look at the Lakers as just obviously, other than the Celtics, the most impressive franchise in the league, the most lucrative. But the family itself, this is their business. They don't have some like hedge fund or tech company to get revenue from. So they've been sort of almost mom and popish to a degree, except for the fact that they have the most lucrative team in the league. The fact that they now have a new owner who does have these other billions of dollars, it really does mean that the Lakers could actually be more aggressive than they have been in recent years. What do you think that actually does? Not even just necessarily next year, but knowing that the Lakers kind of get whoever they want when they want them, someone, and now they're going to be able to spend as freely. What do you think that ultimately kind of does for them?
Yeah, they've always spent on payroll. That hasn't been a problem for them. They paid for superstars and stacked rosters. This is going to be more about having a better analytics group to evaluate players and find edges on the margins. It's going to be about player development and turning those young picks and getting the most out of them. It's going to be about facilities upgrades and all of those type of things to make the Lakers the kind of first-class organization that they're viewed as. I don't know what that really means for their ceiling. I think it means a lot for their floor. I think you have no chance, I think, under new ownership for you to want very little, I'll say, to wind up in that spot that you were in the 2010s where they had that stretch that was the worst in franchise history and they were miserable. Don't think that's going to happen again. But I also don't know how much better you can get under this new CBA. You know, that's what's restrictive about it. That's what this was designed to combat, is this specific situation. So I think just having Luka Doncic and the advantages of being the Lakers affords you is enough for them to probably win a title, maybe more, over the next 5-10 years, because that's the history of the league. I think this matters for making sure that long-term the Lakers will never be as bad as they have been again and maybe miss fewer opportunities. But I don't know that it necessarily makes them all the more dominant, because they're already at such a huge advantage just by the fact that they're the Lakers.
Yeah, no, it's totally fair. I like the way you said it's more about the ancillary stuff than it is necessarily the salary, because obviously with the cap and the new CBA, it's not like you can spend crazy money anymore without it being insanely punitive. Before I ask you for your finals pick, you are a well-rounded basketball thinker. I know that with the draft coming up, you've got thoughts there. The league will quickly pivot to the draft whenever the finals are over. We know kind of what's going to happen at number one with Cooper Flagg to Dallas. We presume the Spurs will take Dylan Harper at two, unless somehow that pick gets moved in a Giannis trade. What for you is the most interesting part of this draft after those two things, or maybe it's even whether the Spurs make that deal? What's the most interesting thing to you about this draft, something that could happen, you know, before even we get to the draft next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good names here that are going to be deeper in that top 10 that are going to be real guys. Like, I think that some of these guys are very, very good, and there's a lot of hype about them. But, look, it starts with Ace Bailey. Are the Sixers just acting like they don't want Ace Bailey so that they can get either the Wizards, the Jazz, the Pelicans to move up? Is there interest in VJ Edgecombe? Like, this is one of the funny ones I heard from a source this week, is he thinks that he's a league insider that works in the draft consulting side. And he said, I think the Sixers are acting like they want VJ Edgecombe so that the Hornets will go after their pick, but the Hornets are acting like they want VJ Edgecombe, so the Wizards will go after their pick. And I was like, all right, so we're just like playing Russian dolls here with draft picks. I think it's really unstable after the top two. And even the top two, I have a little bit of questions about with the Dylan Harper thing. There's been some murmurings around that. Everything is kind of sounds like Harper's the second best prospect. The Spurs are just going to take him, but I'm going to just be a little on my toes until the name is called out. But after that, Ace Bailey could go 3, he could go 10, he could go 11, he could go 8, anywhere in there. There's going to be a lot of trades, there's going to be a lot of movement. It should be a wild draft night, depending on what happens that night.
No, I agree. It should be fascinating. The fact that Rutgers was as poor as they were last year, and they might have two of the top 3 picks, it gives me pause about both of these guys, because something feels off there, but who knows? It's not like Rutgers is a dominant power historically. All right, lastly, I got like 30 seconds or so here. Tell me what you think is going to happen here tonight in Game 6, and if you've got the Pacers, what do you think happens in who's going to win the series?
I think we're probably done tonight. You know, this Pacers team has been so good at battling and facing adversity, but with the Haliburton injury, even if he's, you know, able to go his full minutes, not going to be anywhere close to even 80%, because nobody's 80% this time of year. So too many injuries. You're usually out of adjustments by the time you get to this Game 6. So I think the Thunder wrap it up tonight and they become NBA champions.
All right, Matt, I really appreciate it. This was a pleasure to finally get a chance to chat with you at HP Basketball on Twitter. You can find his work at Action Network, as well as the Locked On NBA Podcast Network. Matt, appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and I hope we can talk again.
Anytime, man. Take care.
All right, that was Matt Moore there. We've got he mentioned Ace Bailey. I want to get into that. This is a fascinating situation. This top prospect does not seem to want to talk to any team in the league about who he is.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We'll get to that next here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, we just talked NBA Finals and just other broad NBA topics with Matt Moore, and he mentioned, we touched on the draft a little bit, and I want to stay there right now, and we'll slide the Wizards into this conversation as well. Obviously, the drafts are always, I love the draft. You know, whether the team I care about, the Wizards typically, always, even they drive me crazy. You know, whether they're picking 1-6 or don't even have a first-round pick, the draft is always a fascinating time. A little bit less so for me these days, just because of the nature of college basketball. You know, we don't really know these players from a personal standpoint. We don't. There's not much of a journey when so many of these guys are one and done. But that's the world we live in now. And obviously with Cooper Flagg and Dylan Harper, the first two picks, projected first two picks are both guys who were only in college for 1 year. Cooper Flagg obviously had tremendous hype coming into Duke and matched it all. He's going to be the first pick to Dallas unless the aliens come down and, you know, change our society. That will be happening. And we presume Dylan Harper is going to go to the Spurs. But as Matt was saying in the last segment, after that, things can get kind of crazy. And the guy who feels like the biggest wild card in all is Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. Throughout this entire college basketball season, we all knew that Cooper Flagg, barring the unforeseen, was going to be the first pick. And then the question was, there's two kids from Rutgers who are huge recruits coming to college, Harper and Bailey. One would go 2, one would go 3. At least that's the way it seemed to be projecting. And now that we're here, Harper still there, a tall point guard who can score. There's a lot to like there, son of former NBA player Ron Harper. But Bailey is, even before the last couple of weeks, Bailey's status felt like it was kind of all over the place. There's a lot to like. He can score, average over 17 a game, 6'8". There's obviously clear talent, but there's also some mercurial aspects of his game. How much of a good feel does he have? Does he play enough defense? All these kinds of things. And then he decided to just skip. He's just skipping interviewing with these teams. He had an interview with the Sixers scheduled. The Sixers have the third pick. And was that today or yesterday? He just said, nah, I'm good. Not going to do that. We'll see if he changes his mind. This is very peculiar. Typically, you know, Cooper Flagg isn't going to meet with anybody besides Dallas because there's no point. Ace Bailey should be talking to these teams. You want to get to know them, not just even to see their work out in front of you, but like to get to know the person a little bit. And that's now not happening. It's very curious as to why. And because of all these factors, as Matt was saying, he could go 3 to the Sixers. I don't know about 4 to the Hornets, but could go 4. He could go 6 to the Wizards. He could slip past the Wizards. He is the absolute biggest wild card without question here. Before we, I bring up another point on this. Strober, what say you? I know you are now talking about the Wizards all the time on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ace Bailey, worth the risk? Too big of a risk? Can't pass? You would pass? Where are you at?
It's interesting you bring this up because our episode two nights ago, we touched on this exact thought. And my impression was, I feel like a lot of this is a smokescreen. A lot of this is Bailey's camp trying to, you know, put out this agenda here that they have an idea of where they want Bailey to go. And I think Washington actually is on maybe the short list of teams that he and his camp would actually prefer he ends up to start his NBA career, because it would probably just fit well for him, a ball dominant player, a guy that's going to need to take a lot of shots, especially early on in his career. And I said, if he was there at 6, let's say there is no movement for the Wizards, even though we've seen some reports that the Wizards have been pretty active already, maybe trying to trade up at some point in this draft, or whether or not that happens later in the draft, 18 moving up to the lottery. And I was saying, I might actually be concerned if Ace Bailey is there at 6, because talent-wise, he's probably the third best player in this draft. I know you could say maybe he's interchangeable with a guy like VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor and then Trey Johnson out of Texas, who I'm the most high on in this draft for Washington to potentially trade up and get, or get if he's there at 6. But it begs the question, why would so many teams be willing to pass on him at this point? I know Philadelphia has had some interest in trading back at some point in this draft, and it maybe would make sense for a team that really wants him, maybe Brooklyn, to trade up to number 3 and get Ace Bailey. But if he falls there at 6, I was saying, I might be concerned about it. And I got a comment on that video, and somebody said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If Ace Bailey's there at 6, you take him. You have to do it for the value. And the point of emphasis I'm trying to make here is, he probably is worth the risk for me, because the Wizards, where they are, they're rebuilding. They're still 2 years away, at least, from being competitive. And at some point, if you're Will Dawkins in the new front office, you have to swing. You have to take a swing on a player and hope he can become a franchise cornerstone piece, because I don't think they have that on the roster currently. And Ace Bailey certainly has the tools, maybe the size, maybe not the size based on how he measured at the combine. But I think he has the shot-making ability and the overall tenacity to be the kind of player that could become a franchise player, a superstar. And that's what the Wizards need. So if he were there at 6 and the Wizards were interested in taking him, I would go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point you made there towards the end, I agree with. Like, I like what the Wizards have done in the post-Bradley Beal world. Alex Artemis was a pretty interesting, impressive piece last year. Don't get caught up that he was the second pick in the draft, ergo he's Kevin Durant or something. Like, he looks like an interesting player, but like, I don't think he's the best guy or the best or the second best, maybe not even the third best guy on a contender. But okay, interesting player for sure. Same with Bob Carrington. They've got a few guys like that, but they don't have anybody where I'm like, you don't have to worry about position. You shouldn't draft X position. No, take whoever is a talent. And like you said, particularly if there is somebody you think has got ace potential, that's a pun intended. You know, if you think this guy could be Ace Bailey, could be that guy, I get it. It's also why maybe they're trying to trade up for VJ Edgecombe, the wing out of Baylor, that would be a guy who could make some sense as well. But the other thing is with these top picks, you don't want to blow it. Like sometimes there is something to be said for where are you at as a franchise to take the big swing? Maybe it's not worth it. The Wizards still have to put together talent. They have some, but they need more. So on my podcast today, the Last Man Standing podcast, great listen, which is normally I'm all about the Commanders, which I talk about the Commanders every day. But today, my colleague at The Athletic, the Basketball Hall of Famer David Aldridge, joined me from Indianapolis to talk about Commanders and other things. But we talked about Ace Bailey as well. And I asked DA, you know, what is going on with Bailey? Why is he skipping these meetings? But and DA didn't have a, he said it's odd, but, you know, he doesn't know everything that Bailey and his representation know. So it's hard to say. But I said to him, okay, let's just say he's there at six. Do you think this is a fit for the Wizards? Here's what David Aldridge had to say to me on my podcast today about Ace Bailey possibly being taken by the Wizards at six.
They need talent. They're not talented enough to compete at the highest levels in the NBA right now. He's talented. He's really talented on one side of the basketball. Now, you talk to people around that saw him, and not only at Rutgers, but in high school, AAU, the whole thing, that say he has the capability defensively. Like, he can play defense. He's got the body and the size and the tools to do it. It's just that he hasn't done it very consistently. And I have found over the years that if a guy doesn't show you that when he's young, it's hard to get him to do it when he's older and right. He's making money. Like, you know, so, you know, like everybody knew Lou Dort was a really good defensive player at Arizona State. It's just that he couldn't shoot, and that kind of limited his appeal in the NBA. But you knew he could play defense, right? I would worry if I'm the Wizards, and I think they were 29th in defense last year, defense rating, to bring in a guy that really has not shown you that he's capable at that end. As talented as he is offensively, and he is wondrously talented offensively, I would understand from a value standpoint at six if he's there and you just go, this is too much talent for us to pass up at six. I get it. I do. And I wouldn't kill him for taking him. But I just know, you know, kind of psychologically, temperamentally is the better word. I know their temperament in terms of their organization and the kinds of people that they value. And I'm not sure he's that kind of fit for them. They want guys that switch on defense and they're long and rangy and really give. And again, that's just, he hasn't shown it yet. Doesn't mean he can't do it. It just means he hasn't shown it yet. And I doubt that with the sixth pick that they would be that adventurous.
Key points there, and some that I definitely agree with, because I do feel like defense is a mentality. I actually saw something on social media, an older clip that resurfaced that I think harkens back to this point and why I think Ace Bailey would give me some pause. We'll talk about that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, welcome back here to 106.7 The Fan. NBA Finals Game 6 is about to tip off, and we're going to, in honor of that, we'll keep talking about basketball here for this segment at the top of the hour. My colleague at The Athletic, Jeff Zrebeck, who covers the Ravens, will join us to talk about the Ravens have had minicamp this week. They just signed Jaire Alexander. Lamar Jackson showed up, and there's going to be a joint practice with a Washington Commander. So we'll talk about all that with Jeff Zrebeck at the top of the hour. I wanted to follow up on what we just heard in the last segment. We played a clip from David Aldridge, his interview on my podcast, The Last Man Standing podcast, earlier today, talking about Ace Bailey, one of the top prospects in this draft, 6'8 forward from Rutgers. A lot of potential, a lot of upside, but also a lot of questions. And one thing that DA mentioned is that Ace Bailey has not shown much interest in playing defense to this point. He's 18 years old. 18-year-olds in general, who knows what they are thinking? Who knows what they are thinking today, how it will correlate to tomorrow, right? A lot of, you know, it's very hard to predict where human beings will go at that age, let alone, you know, an NBA prospect and all the pressures that come with being a top pick and so on. That said, I do kind of believe that, like, there's certain, like, if you tell me somebody has a bad jump shot that can't make outside shots, we've seen enough guys over the years learn how to get that done. Okay. I believe that you can do that. I think if you tell me that somebody has poor instincts, that is a much tougher thing to turn around. Willingness to play defense, I kind of think, falls into that latter category. I mentioned earlier that in my doom scrolling this week on Instagram, I came across this old clip from Frank Martin, a longtime college basketball coach. I don't know if he was at Kansas State or South Carolina or somewhere else. I think he was at Miami at one point too. I don't know where he was when he was asked this question. It was like a kid reporter was there. And the kid reporter asked him, when it comes to defense, what's more important, technique or attitude? And after gushing about the kid's question, said it was the best question he's had on this, nobody had ever asked before, Martin said the answer is attitude, that we can teach technique. That's why we're here as coaches. We'll help you learn how to fight through a screen, or, you know, when you need to slide on defense, or how to force a player to do something they don't want, whatever it is. But if you don't have the right attitude for this, then that becomes problematic. And again, at 18 years old, I don't know Ace Bailey. I've never seen Ace Bailey in person. I've never talked to him. I haven't, even with regards to the draft, because of my Commander's duties, you know, I don't watch college basketball nearly as much as I did when I covered Georgetown and other teams, and just was a crazy lunatic college basketball fan the way many of you are. But from what I see and read, and the fact that like he's skipping these workouts or he's not working out for teams, you know, it, the questions with Ace Bailey are not going away. And so if you told me that the draft goes like this, Cooper Flagg 1 to Dallas, Dylan Harper 2 to the Spurs, let's just say for argument's sake, everybody stays put, the Sixers take VJ Edgecombe at 3, the Hornets at 4 take Konkanipple, the wing from Duke, and the guy that I kind of want for the Wizards, Trey Johnson from Texas, he goes 5 to Utah. I'm not telling you that there's like somebody there that I'm dying to take. The Fears, the point guard, is interesting. There's the big man Malawach out of Duke. He's a bit raw, but you know, the Wizards have time on their side. They're not trying to win immediately, and he's a, you know, 7'2" guy. You'd have a pretty interesting top line there with him and Alex Saar. I think I would probably roll the dice with one of those guys I just said rather than Bailey, based on what I have seen and heard. Now, again, if the Wizards see the potential just being so good that they can't pass, like David Aldridge said in the clip, no knock. This is what they're getting paid to do, figure this out. And to this point, it looks like those guys have done a good job with that. You know, the Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George picks last year, you know, to this point, they looked better than the position where the Wizards got them in. But I agree with what DA said. I just got the feeling the Wizards are looking for a certain type of tenacity with their guys, and I don't know that Bailey has that based on what we have heard and you know, what people have said about his defense and so on. So I'm a little weary of him if he's even there at 6. Let me ask you this, Strober, though. There is this idea that, like, the Wizards are looking to move up in the draft. Mm-hmm. We heard Matt Moore say earlier that, like, you know, the Hornets are fronting that, you know, hey, maybe we're going to take VJ Edgecombe with the hope that the Wizards jump in there and make that kind of move. The question for me is, forget Ace Bailey. The question for me is Edgecombe enough of an upside play for the Wizards to trade, let's just say, 6 and 18 to do that? Or it's 6-18 and maybe they have to tack on one of their other assets, or it's 6 and, you know, one of the younger players on this team, not the guys they took in the first round last year or somebody else. Is that worth it for one of these guys? If they think Edgecombe, presumably, is an upside guy to that end, I can buy it. But if he was, he'd be mentioned more at 2. He's never being mentioned at 2. It's only Harper, and then we'll see what happens at 3. So that doesn't mean people are right. But that's an interesting question for me. What do you, Mr. Locked On Wizards, what do you think of that, of Edgecombe? Or you could give me somebody else that you want that you would trade up for. But what do you think about that?
Edgecombe at 3 is a no. But I do really like him as a prospect. And if he was there at 5 and you were worried about a team like Utah taking him at that point, then I could maybe see the Wizards getting aggressive in a flash, kind of like they did 2 years ago to get Bilal Coulibaly, trading up one spot from Indiana. I think Trey Johnson is more of the player, if it were me making the pick, which doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Will Dawkins, Michael Winger are going to make this pick, so my opinion is irrelevant to it. I feel like Trey Johnson seems safer. I think his ceiling as an offensive player is a lot higher than VJ Edgecombe, but I think the two-way ability of Edgecombe is what makes him really tantalizing. I just don't know if it'd be worth trading a lot of assets. I think it'd be pretty expensive to move up, especially to the 3rd pick with Philadelphia. I think you'd have to give up 6-18. You'd probably have to package maybe a player in there, Corey Kispert or Jordan Poole, maybe one of the other assets they have, future picks or something of that sort. I just don't think Edgecombe is the guy I would trade up for that kind of move. I think he could be available at 6, and then the sources have indicated that the Wizards are pretty comfortable sticking at 6 because they feel a prospect they are very high on will be there.
Yeah, I mean, the Wizards have not been afraid to move up, but I don't view it as they've been reckless. I mean, trading up one spot to get Bilal Coulibaly, which looks like a fine trade in and of itself, is, you know, that's not crazy. And, you know, getting Bub Carrington, I mean, they didn't trade up per se. They traded away Denny Avdija, mm-hmm. which I get that some people might say, boy, that doesn't look great. Denny Avdija was pretty good last year. But it's by the time the Wizards are good to go, Denny Avdija will be 3 years older and maybe already getting close to another contract. And all these young guys are, you know, it's a timeline thing, which is why they made that. And Bubba's look good.
Yeah, and Avdija wasn't Dawkins' guy. And I think that's a big part of that and why, you know, you can expect moves to be made, such as moving on from a guy like Corey Kispert. That's really the last piece of Tommy Shepard that's still here. And what do new front offices do in any sport usually? They like to move on from guys from the past regime and bring their own guys in. It's not really a personal thing. It wasn't personal when Denny Avdija was moved so the Wizards could get Bub Carrington. It's not because they think Denny Avdija wasn't going to be a very good player. They wanted to bring in their own guy, Bub Carrington, who looked pretty solid in his first year. We'll have to see how he builds on it.
By the way, that's a wanting your own guys. That's just human nature, man. That's not even sports. That's how the world works, for better or for worse. And, you know, bosses have bosses, and everybody gets credit for what you do. And you typically get more credit if you bring somebody in than versus, you know, you help nurture something that's already there.
If we got new bosses, they could decide to fire both of us and bring in other people.
Well, you've got a good, you're still in a good rookie contract. I'm an old,
that's right. I'm on a team friendly contract right now.
Right. I think this is going to be a really interesting deal, but I'm with you in general. I would not lean towards trading up. Johnson is the guy that I would like. And like, look, Edgecombe may be like a much better prospect than Blah Koulibaly, but there's a little bit of overlap there. They need somebody that can really score, and Johnson would be more of that guy. So that's why, to me, he would be the ideal. It does kind of feel that he's not going to be there at six, but, you know, we've all been surprised before. You never know for sure. Lastly, before we take a break, I think the other thing to look at with the Wizards is, are they going to trade any of their vets? It feels like Marcus Smart is the obvious one. DA and I talked about this on the podcast today. He's still, you know, relatively young player. He can still play in this league. The Wizards are not trying to win next year again. They need to finish with, in the lottery, bottom eight in order to keep their first-round pick next year, which means you really need to finish, like, bottom five. So what happened to them this year doesn't happen next year, where three teams pass you and all of a sudden you go from six to nine and now you lose the pick. So they need to be bottom five. And not that, like, having Marcus Smart changes that dynamic too much, but they already have Jordan Poole. You know, you still have Chris Middleton. We'll see if he's here. They're going to get, you know, Sadiq Bey after he sat out last year. And obviously these kids they have are, you know, going to improve, and they'll probably have to add a big man somewhere. So Marcus Smart, I would say, is the guy to keep an eye on there in terms of the Wizards possibly making a move. Not that they're going to get a ton for him, but like, hey, they already got a first round pick just by taking on his contract. Whatever they kind of get at this point would be gravy. I'm not saying Marcus Smart has some crazy market, but it's a reasonable move for them to make. And I don't, honestly, for the Wizards, they can take even a potentially low offer, you know, just to move him. And that helps them in multiple ways. Get another asset and help yourself not be too good next year in terms of being a bottom eight team. All right. As I said, top of the hour, we're going to talk NFL with Jeff Zriebeck. And I think we're going to talk about the Commanders next. Ben had a thought in the last break that I want to get to regarding Terry McLaurin. We'll do that next here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, we're probably going to pick this segment up a little bit, this topic up a little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, but just to get it kind of going here, the one big, obviously, topic with the Commanders right now is Terry McLaurin's extension. He skipped OTAs and mandatory minicamp, called a holdout if needed. He's going to get, you know, fined a little over $100,000 accordingly. That's not going to be a big deal once they get a deal done. And I'm still of the belief that they will ultimately get a deal done. Obviously, we already saw McLaurin go through this 3 years ago. Now, that was a different regime that had no leverage because Washington could not afford to take on any more negative press than they already were in the mid all the Dan Snyder turmoil. And obviously, a deal did get done. And I'm not saying that Adam Peters and company would, you know, act like they are, you know, they've got all the power. But, you know, to a certain degree, they do. They are, you know, a lot of, and Adam, we trust is a thing a lot of people are saying. Even if, you know, Terry McLaurin still has 1 year left on his deal, even if he plays the 1 year and they don't get a contract done, they could always go with the franchise tag. So the Commanders have more of the leverage. But then again, Terry McLaurin is a hell of a player. Part of the question, of course, is what is the holdup? Is the holdup just simply the money is way off? Is the holdup that McLaurin is going to turn 30 this year? I've pointed this out before, that of the top 15 receivers right now in terms of annual average value of their salaries, only Tyreek Hill is older than Terry McLaurin. That's a potential negative. But look, I get it. You want this deal done with already. Strober here, you know, I'm not saying he's like, you know, we hear his knees knocking, but, you know, maybe you sent a little bit of nerves of what going in there. What's your hang up here? How can I help you come off the ledge?
So what we know about this situation is you're right about Adam Peters having the leverage essentially in the situation with, you know, it's he's got kind of the fan base on his side right now, the in Adam we trust. But I think if they weren't able to get a deal with a fan favorite in McLaurin done, it would make some people pretty upset. But if they did go on and win a Super Bowl, people would be A-okay with it. Now, I'll make the point right here that I have this pretty much this entire time. Terry, he's entering his age 30 season. He's coming off a career year in the first year that he has a real quarterback throwing him the ball. So that's his leverage at this point, saying, look what I can do with the real quarterback. You got the quarterback. Now, you know, I'm going to command the money to stick around, which is fair. And I've been under the impression that $31 million a year with about $65 million of it guaranteed, I think would get this deal done. DK Metcalf got $60 million guaranteed. I think that's going to probably be the most important part of the deal. $31 million per Spotrac, that would make him the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFC, which I think is about fair because I would say A.J. Brown, better receiver than Terry McLaurin. And then CeeDee Lamb, give or take, but the Cowboys paid him a lot of money. So I think that would kind of be the fair value that you get there from McLaurin, and you lock him up for about a three-year extension, and by the time that deal is done, he'd be around 33. I think he still has some great football left to be played. I'm not really concerned about the age with him at all. And the only year where he really was down, I'd say, was the year prior to last year, which had really inconsistent quarterback play with Sam Howell, and also he was battling turf toe the entire year.
Yeah, I mean, the way I've looked at it is DK Metcalf is just a tick under 33. T. Higgins is a little bit over 28. They're the two big names that signed this year. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase signed, but that's a whole. He's the highest paid guy in the league by a lot, so we're not counting him. So it feels like you could point to $30 million sort of as the in-between those two guys. That's also, again, like you said, where Tyreek Hill is, where Brandon Ayuk is, essentially where Amon-Ra St. Brown is. That feels like a reasonable area. But again, other than Tyreek Hill, all those guys are younger. T. Higgins is like 5 years younger or 4 years, something like that, than Terry McLaurin. And that's, you know, the potential rub here. I would say that, again, none of us can say for sure. I've been saying $30 million for a while. To me, seems like a reasonable spot. I may be high. If you're hearing higher than that, please do not listen. I mean, look, nobody knows anything. If it was higher than that, this would be done. There's no way that McLaurin side is going, oh, we're wagering that we want more from you at 34, 35, 36. No chance. So the question is 30 the number that they would get to? Tyreek Hill was arguably the best receiver in the league, the fastest guy. McLaurin, he's not losing it. It's just, he's not the tallest guy. He's still very, very fast, but he's not the track speed guy. He's not doing a one-on-one against the fastest American sprinter out there as the way Tyreek Hill was going to. You know, so like there's a lot to like about Terry McLaurin, but like there's not a single one thing that you point to and say this will be his big advantage going forward. So again, I think it gets done. It's just how much of hardball does Washington want to play here, I think, is really kind of what this comes down to.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right in this situation with McLaurin. And I think the consensus amongst most people around the National Football League, and of course you and your other colleagues that cover this Washington team on a daily basis, most people think that that new contract, the annual value, better start with a three, whether it's 30 on the dot, 31. you know, some of those fake reports out there suggesting he's getting $36 to $37 million. Come on. That's ridiculous, but we'll talk more about that later.
We will, and I've got a comparison from an age perspective that's not great for McLaurin, but it's worth mentioning. All right, up next, Jeff Zrebeck, the Ravens. They're going to face the Commanders this year, well, at least in the preseason. We'll get to that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.